Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over the news, and it looks like the mandates will go to the Supreme Court. That's where the probabilities lie right now. So let's get into the story from CNBC. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go over this story, but then we're going to also talk about why the typical CNN viewer, when they bring up the Supreme Court hearings or the Supreme Court decisions of the past, they are actually proving our point. And I'm using that term to define those who value individualism, those who value freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism, and those people who have actually read history and understands the danger of giving the government this type of power and control. Let's get into the article. Biden's mandate will likely go to the Supreme Court. Here's how courts have ruled before. Key points. Biden is betting that his unprecedented mandate will prevail against a flurry of lawsuits aiming to strike it down. If you guys remember the story we did yesterday, courts all over the United States have really said this is going nowhere. This is completely unconstitutional, and that's why the majority of these legal experts are thinking that it's going to go to the Supreme Court. And I actually had the opportunity to discuss this with Robert Barnes, who is the lawyer that I'm using for the FOIA requests or maybe a future lawsuit against the Fed. And he was speaking at our mastermind group a couple weekends ago, and he outlined this whole process from start to finish. So it's playing out exactly like Barnes had predicted. So hat tip to you, my friend. Good job. You saw this one coming. So then they say, of course, legal battle likely go to the Supreme Court. Mandates are unprecedented in scope, but are built on extensive framework of legal public health safety regulations, an expert told CNBC. So here's where they start the mistake in how they're viewing these current mandates, in my opinion. See, they're saying that, these mandates aren't bad because there's legal precedence for them before. So assuming that there's legal precedence assumes that the current law is good. And it also assumes that those laws that were passed in the past were actually good and justified. And in my opinion, that's an incorrect assumption, especially if you study history. And we're going to get into that a moment. Well, I agree with this gal, that's for sure. Well, and I shouldn't say that. I don't disagree. I'm not anti-vax. I always say that. I'm just very, very, very anti-vax mandate. And I think those are two different things. I think people should be left to their own decisions. Everyone has a different risk-reward profile. So to just use this blanket kind of law for everyone, it makes absolutely no sense. But that's excluding the dangers in giving an authoritarian government, global governments, and global elite this type of power and control, because we know darn well that even after the Cerveza sickness, they're going to continue to use that power and control against you to micromanage your life. And that's what people, the average CNN viewer, doesn't understand. We're going to get that more in a moment. Republican attorney generals in at least 26 states and numerous private businesses and industry groups have sued, arguing the mandate is unconstitutional flex of government power over Americans' lives. The clash marks just the latest example of deep-seated ideological divisions that have defined the United States' response to the Cerveza sickness, where the push to crush the virus has frequently collided with efforts to protect personal liberties. Okay, so here, I think this is an inaccurate way of framing what's going on. There is no push to crush the Cerveza sickness. You can't crush it, for heaven's sakes, at least not given the tools that we have at our disposal. And we see this over and over and over again. And I tweeted out this morning that all of these restrictions, whether it's the lockdowns, the the mandates for face coverings, or now whether it's with these passports, we'll call them, they haven't moved the needle at all. When you look at charts of where they've implemented these policies, there is no correlation whatsoever. Every once in a while, something will line up, but then you'll pull up the next chart and nothing will line up. Therefore, there is no correlation above 50%. It's a coin toss. Therefore, one can assume that those preventative measures, even if they have the intentions of health and the public well-being as their priority, there's no proof that these things actually work. And I said it's very similar to a rain dance that like Native Americans would do, or they'd do, you know, hundreds of years ago, where they'd go through a drought and they'd think that, oh, what they need to do is rain, or excuse me, what they need to do is dance this some specific way. And then all of a sudden it will rain. And you see what happens is when they get rain, then they attribute it to the rain dance because they don't have the data to show that, you know, 50, 60% of the time when they dance, there's no rain that comes. So there's no correlation whatsoever. So these mandates are the to try to prevent the cerveza sickness is the exact same thing as doing a rain dance to try to bring rain to a community. Except the rain dances are better because they're not ceding power and control over to an authoritarian government. So again, this push to crush, I don't like that term because you can't crush the cerveza sickness with the tools we have. There's the probability of that is zero. Now, if we have different tools in the future, maybe you can. But given what we have right now, that's not going to happen. So by implementing these policies, to put it mildly, these unprecedented policies with the lockdowns and the mandates, we have a very little benefit, if anything at all, but yet we have a massive downside cost.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
Let me rephrase this here the way it should be written, where the ineffective push to crush the cerveza sickness, which has not worked at all, has collided with efforts to protect personal liberties and freedom. So we take away our freedoms and liberties, but yet, so we have a significant cost, but we have no benefit. We do already have a lot of very aggressive work rules. So it's broader than we've seen in the past, but it's also following a long tradition of regulating the workplace. And here's my point. You see, once you give the power and the control to the government, you never get it back. And then they want more and more and more and more. So I would argue that sure, we have a lot of these rules in the workplace, but if we had fewer rules in the workplace, that this mandate wouldn't even be a discussion, because it would be a very hard leap to go from, let's say, A to Z. But it's a much easier leap to go from M to Z. And that's my point. People look at the cost-benefit analysis and they don't consider what the government will do with this power and authority you give them in the future. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. Actually, we're going to get into that right now. So the debate over the mandates has drawn attention to a pair of related Supreme Court rulings from earlier 20th century, particularly 1905 case Jacobson versus Massachusetts. So I'm sure on social media, when you guys have posted something to say, hey, these mandates are a bad idea, you get a lot of pushback saying, oh, you're just a tinfoil hatter. You don't know what you're doing. You're crazy. The United States has had these before. Just look at the decision with Jacobson in Massachusetts in 1905. The Supreme Court has already made their decision. We've already had these for the past 120 years or so. So all you're doing is just being political. You're just biased. You just don't know what you're talking about. You're just a tinfoil hatter. You're just fear-mongering is kind of their pushback. But you see, what these people don't understand is they're proving my point. They're proving your point. They're proving the point of the people who stand up for liberty, freedom, and who have actually studied history and know that we are on a very slippery slope. And we don't want to get on that slippery slope in the first place. So let's use this as an example. Here it is. So let's see if I can enlarge this. There we go. So let's get into the details of Jacobson versus Massachusetts. Setting, 1902, smallpox outbreak in Massachusetts. Law, state statute compelling medicine of residents not medicated. The defendant, Henning Jacobson, on March 15, 1902, refused and ordered by Cambridge Board of Health a fine of $5, which is about $150 today. So first and foremost, this is apples to oranges in the sense that they're just fining this guy. What we're talking about now is not just fining someone, it's firing them. I think that's slightly different, but I digress. Let's stick on the point here, or stick to the point. U.S. Supreme Court, February 1905. This is basically their decision. Upon the principles of self-defense and paramount necessity, a community has the right to protect itself against an epidemic of disease which threatens the safety of its members. Pretty straightforward stuff. And I think a lot of your friends and family member Freds or the average CNN viewer would look at this and say, eh, there you go. What are you worried about? We should just continue with these mandates and just stop fear-mongering. Okay, again, they're someone who has not studied history. Because if they had studied history, they would know about this next decision. This was Buck versus Bell in 1927. So let's read this one. The main legal precedents cited in Buck versus Bell, the 1927 Supreme Court decision upholding involuntary eugenic sterilization, was none other than Jacobson versus Massachusetts. The same Supreme Court decision that they're talking about in the CNBC article, the same Supreme Court decision that your friend and family member Freds on social media are shoving in your face as some sort of proof that you don't know what you're talking about and that you're a fearmonger. Let's continue. The 1905 case allowing mandatory smallpox medication, as Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes explained in Buck versus Bell, the principle that sustains compulsory vaccination is broad enough to cover cutting a woman's fallopian tubes. Let me go ahead and let that sink in for a moment. Let me reread that one more time to make sure you're getting that. The principle, going back to the 1905 decision, that's what he's referencing, that sustains compulsory medicines is broad enough to cover cutting a woman's fallopian tubes. If that doesn't scare the hell out of you, nothing will. You see, and the point here that you need to make with your friend and family member, Fred, is that if we didn't have the Supreme Court decision in 1905, we would have never had forced eugenic sterilization in 1927. So if you are in favor of medicine mandates today, you need to understand that giving that type of power and control to the government may not have a dramatic impact today, although I would argue it will. But the more important point is the impact that it has on generations in 10, 20, 30 years from now. And anyone that references 1905, Jacobson versus Massachusetts, is proving our point that it is too dangerous to give the government this type of power and control, because you don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to leverage it against you and your family in the future. And what really irritates me is when you see this in the media, they never discuss Buck versus Bell. They always try to kind of sweep it under the rug as though it doesn't exist. And this is my initial point in going over this article, that just because we have rules that existed in the past, it doesn't mean that they were beneficial. It doesn't mean they were justified. So when we're doing a cost-benefit analysis on these medicines, or on these mandates, excuse me, we not only have to consider the impact on today in society, but to an even greater degree, we have to consider the impact on future generations. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure you're always standing up for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism.